precious
listen,
building.
You are more than the air.
Listen, close to my heart.
I see her face and know that she sees.
Your reflection is more than you see. You are more than a phenom, lasting essence longer than eons in the plateau that we on.
Thank you for tuning in to the Poetic Property Podcast. I am your host, Complex the Poet, father, author, and entrepreneur. Thank you guys for tuning in. As usual, we're going to start with a mental health check. I told you guys last week I was going through it because I was going to get my godbabies. And it was a difficult thing going through, you know, going through what I went through, losing my daughter. And, you know, my godchildren, both, or all three of them, are girls. And so I didn't know how I was going to be able to handle that, you know, still being emotional about everything that happened with my daughter. But it's going good. It the first night was very hard because it was the first time that I, like, really heard a kid cry, a baby cry in so long, because I didn't get the opportunity with my daughter, Kennedy. So the week went good. It was emotional. I cried some. It was difficult to get through, but I had to remove the emotion from it, because at the end of the day, I was assisting my niece and watching the kids while she had her other baby. So I grew, like, really attached to them just within, you know, a week of them being here. It just, like, parenting is the thing that I feel like I'm the best at, and that's the thing that I enjoy the most of parenting, even though, you know, my kids work my nerves. It's like, that's what they're supposed to do, you know what I mean? So I don't, like, when I say they get on my nerves or yada yada whatever, it's more of the day-to-day parent thing. It's not like, oh my god, I want my kids to get away from me. But it was really, really difficult. Like, I'm not even gonna front. You know, changing diapers, making sippy cups and bottles and burping and, you know, just playing with them. And, you know, my oldest baby, she's such a sweetheart, but she is so attitude-y. And it's super cute right now. She's only one, so it's like, it'll get old as she get older. So it's just funny because her and I was just, we've been going at it all week. Because I'm petty, because I argue back, even though she's one. But it's been difficult, but I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being, because my boys are older. You know, my youngest kid right now is 6, about to be 7 in October. My oldest kid is about to be 15, so I don't have little babies. So just getting the opportunity to be around little babies again, especially, like I said, going through what I went through, excuse me, with my youngest daughter. It's been refreshing. It's been emotional. I've had to have enough strength within myself to understand my job as a godparent, which is to just make sure that they're okay, make sure that, you know, I'm doing what's asked of me, you know, from my niece when it comes to getting them and stuff, and just being able to detach myself from the emotion of losing Kennedy and the emotion that I have being a god dad. But it's been fun. It's been really fun. I'm super tired, not gonna lie. Them babies, whew, they're night owls. That part I don't miss. But I handled it well. I feel like I said, I cried a little bit just off sadness and joy of having an opportunity. You know, universe works in mysterious ways. You know, I lost my daughter, but I gained 3 goddaughters. And so it's a blessing. You know, I do wish my daughter was here. They don't replace my daughter. They don't replace Kennedy, but it's refreshing having them, being able to help raise them, being able to be around them, and just be in their lives, and them being in my life. So, like I said, most part, I handled it the best way I could. I did have a panic attack when I picked them up. Like, it was so much anxiety because, again, I haven't been around little babies. So I did have a panic attack, but I was able to it took, I want to say, maybe an hour for me to reel it in, but I was able to reel it in and then focus on my responsibility to, you know, to make sure they have fun, make sure I do what I'm supposed to do, make sure they stay safe. So hope you guys had good weeks mentally. Excuse me. I hope, you know, if you struggle, you're still striving for a better day. Like I say in every pod, you can hit me up. You can leave a comment on a video here. You can hit me up on IG, Poetic Properties Podcast, or Twitter, Poetic Properties. And we can just chat. You can just, you know, if you just need to vent, go ahead and vent. I'm here. And as always, I love you guys. Make sure you're continuing to fight through it. I know it's hard. Understand you are not alone. So with that being said, this week while I was babysitting, I read self-help books and relationship books. And it's crazy because before, when I start reading these relationship type books, I used to get them for myself. And the part where it tells you to love on your spouse or point out something that your spouse could change or point out this or point out that, I used to apply that to myself. So even though it's a couple's book, I used to read the books and apply whatever love or whatever lesson, whatever emotion that was going out, I used to apply it to myself. So I'm reading this book. Dang it, I thought I brought it down here. I think it's Now You're Speaking My Language. And the chapter before last, it really caught me. And it was getting to know yourself. And I've taken a lot of time to figure out who I am. And I encourage you guys to do the same. Whether you're in a relationship or not, it's paramount that you know who you are. And it's important that you do this for yourself, not even for the sake of relationships. And that goes for romantic relationships, friendships, you know, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your kids, with your siblings. Like, don't do it for that. Do it for yourself. I always tell my kids, and it's always something that I've just lived by, is learning how to be selfish for yourself. It took me a while to get there because I'm a giver and I'm a people pleaser and I want everybody to be okay and I want all this stuff, but it's draining to me. So I had to get to know myself. I had to figure out what I liked. I had to figure out how I like to be loved. I have to figure out, you know, how I like to be talked to. I had to figure out type of sex I like. I had to figure out type of food that I like, not because I'm in a relationship, not because my mom said eat that, not because I'm copying my brother, not because, you know, I'm trying to force my kids, but for me. So I had to really step back, right? I had to really step back and I had to really say, okay, these cycles keep repeating. The relationship goes good, then it goes bad. There's no lesson per se, and then you're on to the next thing without dealing with the last thing. And I'm very good at detaching from things, but I believe that's where all the depression comes from. I believe that's where the anxiety comes from, because there's so much energy, both negative and positive, from past situations, past relationships. And I believe I talked about this before. I had to just stop. I had to figure out, okay, what do you want for you? At what point do you say enough is enough? Figure yourself out and live with it, right? And so I started reading, you know, self-help books, and I started reading relationship books because for me, I'm not built to be single. Like, it's just, it is what it is. I'm not built to be single. I'm just not built that way. But for me, I want to figure out how to make things work. Before, it was, I want to make such and such happy. I want to make sure they're good. I want to make sure I do what it takes, even if what it takes was at the detriment of my health or at the detriment of my mental health. It didn't matter. I always just wanted to please. So I had to stop and say, okay, what makes me happy? So I started to meditate. I started to exercise. You know, I started to try different foods. I started to listen to different music. I started to read different types of books, watch different types of shows to kind of see what am I interested in. And I found out so much about myself. And I'm grateful that I took that time. I always say, without pain, there is no perfection. Even though, you know, perfection doesn't exist, the idea of perfection does. So if you continue to have perfection to work for, you know, you'll be okay. Even though, reality doesn't exist, that pain has to come. Like, all that means to me is that pain has to come to get you to the next level. Like, when I was younger, you know, the old heads used to say, you know, pressure bust pipes or pressure turns a coal into diamond, whatever it is. For me, I say, without pain, there's no perfection. So without learning the lessons as you move forward, like, you're never going to get to the point. If you can't stop yourself and you can't figure out what you like, you're going to be lost. You're really going to be lost. You have to really sit down and remove things your parents taught you, your grandparents, your siblings, like, strip all that away. And you have to sit and say, what do I like because I like it? Who do I want to be because I want to be this person, not because my mom feels I should be this way, my dad, my brother, like, who do I want to be? And then you have to say, okay, this is who I want to be. What is it going to take for me to get there? I tell the kids all the time, hold me accountable. If I'm doing something that's outside of what I've told you I am, hold me accountable. Because every day I try to be the man that I say I am to myself. Excuse me. And if I fall short, because we all do, my kids are the most important thing to me to be able to say, Dad, you bugging. You know, 9 times out of 10, I'm able to really stop myself in real time, like, for what? Like, why? So it's not often that they have to, quote unquote, check me, you know, for being outside of who I say that I am. But it took me a long time to get here. It took me a long time to get here because there was so much fear of being who I'm meant to be. It was so much anxiety. Just I'm gonna be who you want me to be. I used to have the mindset of I'm gonna be whoever makes you comfortable, because I don't like conflict. Not because I'm afraid of conflict, but I don't have an off switch. So if I'm mad at something and my temper rises, I'm going to say something, you know, that is going to hurt. I'm going to say something that I don't mean. You know, we may, you know, if it's a guy, I might swing on you. Like, my temper is too, it used to be too bad. My reaction was always, okay, you hurt me, I'm about to go extra hard on you. Instead of being mature and saying, yo, that really hurt, you know, we need to talk about this. You know, a lot of times I've dealt with women that they weren't in tune with their feelings enough to know when I was saying, yo, I feel a way about this. It was either, you know, you're being extra or you looking at it the wrong way. Like, I have yet to be in a relationship with anyone who understands my feelings as a man do get hurt. It's certain things that do bother me. I'm not afraid of no type of competition. The world is the world. People gonna look at your girl, like, just like, you know, for women, people gonna look at your guy. You have to be so confident in yourself that you understand that, but you keep it pushing. And a lot of that comes with knowing who you are. I know who I now know who I am. With or without a relationship, I know who I am. My mom, she laughs at me because the way I was raised was very independent, right? So I can cook, I know how to clean good, I cut hair, I braid hair, I do locks, I know how to sew, I can paint a house, I can build bookshelves. Like, I don't need a partner. I want a partner, but I don't need a partner. And you get caught up in that because you're so used to being independent. You're so used to being by yourself. Even when you're in a relationship, sometimes you're in a whole relationship, but by yourself. And knowing yourself is key to being able to be comfortable. Like, now, whatever relationship I get in, it doesn't matter what nobody say, I'm going to be comfortable because I know how to live by myself. I know, like, as a single parent, I know how to take care of my kids. I know what I need to do. I know how much money I need to make. I know how much groceries I need to get to last from here to here. I know all those things. So the necessity of a partner is obsolete. That came from me knowing myself. But because in knowing myself, I have no ego, I want a partner to share those responsibilities with. I want to pour into someone's life as they pour into my life. I always say that I want my situation to be in unison, no comparison. If I have if there's a fight and things are off balance, I'm not going to deal with you. I know that sounds harsh, but if I'm on a certain frequency of peace, or even if my frequency is chaotic in my realm of chaos, it's my chaos. So if you come in, whether it's romantic relationship, friendship, or whatever, if you come in and change that frequency, because I know myself, I can say without any malice, without any hate or anger, I can't deal with you. And I got there from just understanding I am important, right? I'm important to me. I was put on earth for a reason. I don't personally know what reason, but I know it was for something. So for me, that's enough for me to now stand up for myself. Again, it took me a while because the fear of being alone is crazy. But once you get through that fear and you know, like, you go a couple years of being by yourself and just, you know, I've exiled myself in a sense. Like, where I live at right now, I live outside of the city, like, away from everything. I'm close enough in case of emergency, but far enough for nobody just to pop up at my house. I've always been that way. Like, I'm an introvert, and on top of that, depression, on top of that, anxiety, on top of that, trust issues, right? But I know myself enough now to be able to control the narrative of what I can control. I know certain things are not in our control as human beings, but the things that are, I'm able to deal with them peacefully. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of meditation. It took a lot of discipline within myself. It took a lot of, no, don't call her back. Don't look for her. Don't look on social media. Don't ask a friend. If you have mutual friends, don't be mutual friends. It took a lot of that for me to get to a point so that I'm not driven by the emotion of a relationship. I'm not driven by the connection that I used to have. I'm not driven by it. Are those connections important? Yes, but I'm not driven by it no more. So it's like, I've learned to keep my emotions in check so that my desires stay under control. Excuse me, so I can make the right choices. We get out of sorts in our emotions, and then we start, because of our emotions, whether they're super high, super low, we want and don't want certain things. But it affects our choices. And if you can't control your emotions and your desires, your choices are always going to be bad. Because no matter what life throws at you, it's always a up and down, a left or a right, black or white, period. There's never too many situations where you have 10, 20 different ways to go. There's never a situation that you have an up and down, left and right, black or white, period. And if you are not under control and you're not in tune with yourself, you let your emotions get you to a place to desire to do right or wrong, right? And most times the first that your emotions get to a certain place, and then you react negatively. You get into it with your girl. Your desire is to get a new girl that's not going to do what the old girl did, but you're not taking into account the things that she's going to do that you don't like. That's going to also affect your emotions. And then you get into this back and forth with yourself because you're not controlling your emotions. Male and female. This is, you know, I want to make sure that I'm clear about, we all need to do this. Man, woman, we all need to do this. We all need to be in a strong position of authority within ourselves to check our emotions. You get to a point where, because when you're young, you're going to keep fighting. It just is what it is. It's just our nature, because you have all that vigor and you have all that angst. Like, you have to be right, that pride, that ego. And it doesn't matter. You're just going to keep going because the high level of emotion. You get to a certain age, though, where you start seeing the logic in things, and it's no more driven off of the emotion. So once you start seeing the logic and stuff, you're able to really check your emotions, because it's like, is it worth really getting mad at? Like, what is my attitude going to change towards that? And do I want to respond this way and create a week long of irritation and arguments and disagreements? Or do I want to keep my peace, say what the fact is, and just deal with it? My thing since I found me, since I am sure in the authority that I have in myself, is I don't care how you interpret what I say. As long as there is no malice, and as long as there is no hatred in what I'm saying, I could care less what your interpretation of it is, because my feelings are valid. My feelings are important, and you can't tell me how I feel. Now, how you interpret what I say is on you. So being able to keep my emotions under control, my desire to react aggressively, negatively, are gone. Because now I'm looking at everything on a simple playing field of logic. Does it make sense for me to combat what you said with something that's going to hurt your feelings? Or for me to say, okay, cool, I'm sorry you feel that way, deuces. And I'm not saying just walk away from, you know, from your friendships, your relationships, just off of an argument or a disagreement. But what I'm saying is, knowing yourself and learning how to control your emotions allows you to really see people for who they are. I don't hate you, I don't dislike you, but if you continue to do the same thing, or if you continue to do things that mess with my frequency, I'm just not going to deal with you after second, third time. Oh, okay, cool. That's not an accident. That's who you are becoming. Bet. I don't want to deal with that. And you don't get to that place until you're able to know who you are. You don't get to that place until you can cut those emotions, or not cut them off, but you can control those emotions. I look at my brother all the time, my brother Duck. When I say he has no emotion either way, it's facts. Listen, this is what it is. This is what it's not. This is where I stand on it. You make the choice. And it is the funniest thing because he's always been like that. Even when we were younger, it was weird because it was like he just knew. Whatever he knew, he just knew. And when you're that way, like when we were younger, it's like, oh, he's arrogant. Oh, he cocky. He this, he's that, and the other. Now that we're older and I'm looking at him and I'm, you know, looking up to him and seeing who he is and how he operates, that wasn't ego. That wasn't cockiness. That was being sure of who he was. Being sure that no matter what you did, you knew where he stood. It took me a while to get there. Because I was always so focused on being in the next relationship and the next relationship and the next relationship instead of being focused on who I'm supposed to be. So now that I'm there, it's like, man, it's crazy. I'm not about to get into an argument with you. 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to even raise my voice. You're going to say whatever you're going to say. And just like I tell my kids, you're going to say what you're going to say. I'm going to say what I'm going to say once. If it don't change your mind, there's no point of me saying it again. If what you're saying to me, if it doesn't equate to what we're going through, or if it doesn't, if it's in a negative or aggressive way, there's no point of you saying that to me. Because violence is easy, right? Violence is easy. Whether you have controlled emotions or not, violence is easy because that's your animalistic nature when faced with negativity is to yell back, is to fight. That's easy. The hardest part is using logic and saying, all right, I'm not even on that type of time. Not even gonna take it there. Again, for me, it's not for me out of fear. It's for you because if we're going to go, we're going to go. If we're going to argue, we're going to argue. And I'm going to make sure that you're broken down, right? So for me, I choose to keep the negativity out. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. It doesn't matter who I'm speaking about. Excuse me. I don't care. I have no problem. I have no beef. I'm going to keep my peace regardless because I know who I am. And I want to keep my emotion under control. I want to make the right choices. I have kids that are looking up to me. I have kids coming up after me. I have God kids that are coming up. You know, they're watching me. And I want to make sure that by example, I'm doing the right thing. I want to show them how to learn themselves earlier than I was able to learn myself. I want to guide them to a point to where their emotions are in check so they don't have these desires to do these bad things. You see what I'm saying? Like they don't like when we came up, you know, I grew up in the 80s, right? Excuse me, I grew up in the 80s. Back then, your parents wasn't guiding you like that because they were taught by a generation of do what I say, not what I do. So that's how they raised my generation. It was no questioning. It wasn't no, even if as a kid, it's like, yo, that don't seem right. You couldn't say nothing. And if you did, you either got popped in the mouth, put on punishment, whooped, whatever. That's just the way that it was growing up in the 80s, especially for single parents, right? For me, I'm like, man, I'm not gonna front, act like I'm better than nobody. Cause early on, I did that. Everything was a whooping. Early on, but then I got to a point to where I'll remember, I'll never forget. Duck, excuse me, Doug said to me, he said, bro, once kids get to a certain age, man, if you can't communicate with them, like, that's not a them problem. That's, as an adult, that's the you problem, because you're not learning how to communicate with them. And I remember that. I had already been stopped, like, whooping my kids or popping my kids or whatever, because for me it was just like, all right, I ain't a bully. Like, it's what you really doing, like, at this point, because I can communicate with you. At this point, is what you're really doing deserving of me putting my hands on you? Nah. It's certain things that you do when you try me, I'm going to try you back. Like, I have a policy in my household. I'm going to disrespect you like you disrespect me. It is what it is. However you take that. But I know my emotions, and I know how it can go, you know, from 0 to 100. So I'm teaching my kids, know yourself first. I got my son, he's a freshman right now, and my thing with him is know who you are first. So when you know, right now, everybody's at doing school from home. But this whole time, you know, as he's been growing and I've been preparing him to be in high school, it's like you get to know who you are. So when you get to school and get around these other kids of other ethnicities, other parental situations, other, you know, certain kids have different freedoms. When you get around them, you will know how to make your own choice. You won't be confused about who you are and trying drugs because they tried drugs. You won't drink because they drink. You won't, you know, start cussing and doing this and that because they do it. If you do those things, it's solely because you do those things. Do I want you to do those things? No. If I find out you're doing those things, am I going to say something? 100% yes. But I want you to know who you are so that you are safe in the decisions that you make. So my goal is right now where I'm at in my peace and my clarity of who I am and loving who I am, even while fighting this depression, even while fighting this anxiety, I am comfortable with who I am. It's going to pass. I have faith that the depression is going to pass. I have faith anxiety is going to pass. It is what it is. I wish it was as easy, because people say, just don't be depressed. I wish it was that easy. Trust me. If it was, I would not be. But even through all that, I do the best that I can to still teach my kids, to still show them by example positive things. I still, you know, get up and I do the pod. I still get up and I work on the apparel. I still get up and I write the poems and I speak the poems. I encourage them in their art. I encourage them in their music. I encourage them, you know, in building. I encourage them in everything that I can. I try my hardest that even when I'm having my down days where I don't feel like talking and don't, you know, and I can't express excitement, I still speak positively to them. Because it's like, it's not their fault that I'm depressed. It's not my fault that I'm depressed. But I know myself well enough to know how my tone, my action, my whatever it is, how it affects people that are important to me. So I encourage you all, if you pray, to pray. If you meditate, meditate. Like, get your emotions together. Learn who you are. I'm telling you, the best thing that I could have ever done was take control of my emotions. I don't have weird desires no more. Not weird, because it was just drinking, smoking, here and there. It was never, and not smoking, not smoking cigarettes or nothing, but those were the things when, like, I would get emotional. I would reach for alcohol, right? Even with a heart condition, you know, I would, you know, hit the weed. But it's like now I don't have those desires where it's a point of, if I'm emotionally distraught, I feel like I need a drink. Or I feel like I need to get some weed, or I feel like I need to get a vape. I don't have those desires no more. I'm not saying those things are bad, like, because I'm not judging nobody, because I was a certain way. You see what I'm saying? But my emotions are under control, that, like I said about my kids, if I drink, I'm not drinking because I'm depressed. I'm drinking a glass of wine because I'm having a good dinner and I want to have a glass of wine. If I smoke, I'm not smoking because I'm just overly stressed. It's for health reasons. It's for other health reasons. You know what I mean? So, but emotionally, you start doing all this stuff. You cheat. You overdrink. You oversmoke. You do all these things that are harmful to no one but yourself. So it's important that you just know who you are and not you, and you don't be afraid to know who you are. I think that's what the downfall is that we are afraid to know who we are. We are afraid that we won't be cool. We are afraid that we won't be looked up to. We are afraid to let go of these stereotypes and these generational characters that we're forced to live in. We're afraid to let that go. But in reality, like, you gotta find who you are. And you won't do that until you start trusting yourself, till you hold yourself accountable, till you get your emotions in check, till you, you know, curb those desires to stuff that really benefits you, and you make those choices. It's important. We lose so much time being somebody we're not, and not even always in a negative. We lose so much time trying to make everyone happy. And on the inside, we are miserable people. The moment I start trying to live for me, my stress went down. I became more peaceful mentally. I didn't have negative thoughts of, you know, like everything used to always be about fighting or arguing or cussing or this or that. And once I start really focusing on loving me, showing myself how to really love who I am, everything changed. I'm chill. I'm very chill. I'm very loving. I'm very peaceful. I'm very much quiet until I have to say something. My brother used to always tell me, man, don't say nothing until you have to, but when you say something, make it count. And I've held on to that for years. So when I have to say something, I say it. When I don't, I chill. Because it's more important for me to show who I am than to tell you. Because I want to be who I am. Like, I want you to be able to look at me from a mile away and know it's me, because the consistent character that I have, the consistency of who I am, has spoken so loud for me that you never have to even say nothing to me to know that I'm an honest person, I'm a decent person, I'm a loving person. You got to know yourself. I encourage you guys to really sit down, even if you're in a relationship. Sometimes you got to take time, like, and really ask yourself, am I me for my spouse or am I me for me? And then if you feel like you're living life for that person, then talk about it. Say, hey, you know, this is how I feel. If that person loves you, they're going to understand. And 9 times out of 10, I'm certain they probably feel the same way. Like, so it's just, I'm learning so much stuff on this journey of figuring me out. And I just want to make sure I'm helping as much as I can. I want to make sure that if nothing else, you know that you are not alone in your depression. You are not alone in trying to figure yourself out. You are not alone in none of these things. And it's important to know that, because for me, I feel like I don't have nobody. And not nobody, like, you know, like I've been saying, I talked to my brother Doug, I talked to my mom. But on a day-to-day, like, somebody that's, like, next to me that, you know, I could just cry if I need to cry, like, it's I don't have that. You see what I'm saying? It's a difficult thing because everybody has their own issues. And it sucks that that's how the world is, that we so often be having so much stuff going on, but we won't even tell our best friend because it's like, damn, they might have something going on. and you don't want to throw in, you know, and mess up their situation or their mental health now because they're worried about you when they got their own stuff going on, and vice versa. It's very hard to realize, hey, it's very hard to realize when and when not to tell your people something's going wrong or you feel a certain way. Because sometimes they're going through something. And you saying whatever you're going to say, or you feeling, especially if you're close to people, you saying a certain thing, it's going to have them tripping out. It's going to have them tripping out. So it's good for you to know yourself and know the people around you so you can know how to maneuver. But I want to make sure that you guys understand that you are not alone. Like, this podcast, it's funny because the podcast was essentially meant as a safe space for us to just express what we needed to express. And by us, I just meant like men at first, just men. I wanted us to have a safe space to just vent. But as I start doing the pod, it became something that I just wanted to help people with. Everybody knows that I'm a poet, and I really wanted to, like, I tied the poetry into it. But when I first started Poetic Properties, it was honestly meant to just be a poetry podcast. But as I'm talking and trying to, you know, I think about the poems as I'm talking, you know, regular on the pod, and it fits hand in hand. The poetry and the things that I talk about is hand in hand because everything that I talk about is from experience. Everything I talk about is from a place of pain. Everything I talk about is from love, is from endurance, you know, perseverance. So it's just crazy how this all is turning into what it is. You know, right now I don't have a bunch of listeners. I have a few consistent listeners. I'm proud of that, because my thing has always been one person at a time. I want to help people one person at a time. I want to reach you and let you know you're not alone. It's somebody in the Philippines that listens to this podcast. Wherever you are, I thank you. It's people, you know, in California, in Washington, in Vegas, in Texas. I thank you. If this is helping you, that's all it does. Like, I'm not trying to be famous. I'm just trying to make sure somebody wakes up and fights to live another day. I'm just trying to make sure people figure out who they are. I'm trying to encourage people to understand it's okay to be you. Even within a relationship, it's okay to be you. It's okay to tell your partner, I don't like this because that's something that is not for me. And then you find common ground, and you guys get to be who you are together separately. I know that makes sense, but you lose who you are when you start dealing in relationships. Hell, even as a parent, you lose who you are in being a parent. Being a son or a daughter, you lose who you are being a child. So it's important for you to find your identity, get your emotions under control so you can control the desires to make the right choices so you don't end up doing something that you don't want to do, being somebody you don't want to be. You have to know your value. In reading this week, it was a question in the book. It says, do you believe you are valuable, right? And I had to really think about that, and I was like, no, I don't. Like, I don't think I'm at the highest level of my value, right? Because it's so much more that I have to learn. Like, I'm only 4 or 5 years tops in my journey of searching who I am, right? In the grand scheme of things, 5 years is not a lot of time to figure out who you are. I'll be 38 in November. So for 33 years, I didn't know who I was. For 33 years, I lived for the next relationship. For 33 years, I lived being somebody's sibling. I lived being somebody, lived being somebody's child. 5 years strong, I've been figuring out who I am. Each year, I get stronger and stronger, mentally, physically, emotionally. Each year, it's a different level of, okay, I'm like, that hurt. But I'm better from it. Ooh, that one stung. But I'm better from it. So do I feel like I'm valuable? I'm sorry. The question was, do you feel supremely valuable? And my answer to that was no, because I still have so much growth to figure out who I'm supposed to be. It's going to be an everlasting search for who I'm supposed to be, because that's just how life is supposed to be. You're supposed to learn something every day, whether it's small or large. So for that, I don't feel supremely valuable. I do feel valuable. I feel like the words that I say to people, I feel like the poems that I write, I feel like my interaction with people, I feel like it helps them. Even in my dark days, I'm either mentoring, I'm either allowing someone to vent to me, I'm giving them advice to get through their situation, I'm trying to give them the logic of the situation, even if they're uber emotional, I'm trying to break down, you know, their situation, because that's who I am. But the difference is now I know who I am, so I'm not losing myself in their situations. I'm able to listen attentively and give you the advice or give you the logic breakdown of what I feel about the situation. And then when I hang up with you, or if I get off, or once I get off the text with you, I'm good. I'm back to my meditation. I'm back to my peace. So it's important to know that you are valuable, but you have to find your value. You have to believe in who you are. That's why for me, I'll keep doing podcasts, even though I only get 7-6 listeners per pod. I'll keep posting it to YouTube, even though I get 3-4 views on YouTube. I'll keep making my apparel. I'll keep doing those. I'm going to keep doing it every day, because at the end of the day, I want to be consistent for myself. I am valuable to myself. I am important to myself. So as long as I know who I am and I believe in me and I'm able to take ego out of it and pride out of it and just be who I'm supposed to be and continue to help others and continue to encourage others and represent us all in through creativity, to continue to make sure we're all doing good mentally, even while going through it. Like I always say, I don't want to talk to no one who has not been through or who is not going through what I'm going through. I don't want to talk to you. You can't help me. You can't. If you've never been depressed, if you never had anxiety, you can't help me with that. As a parent, if you've never lost a child, you can't help me with that. You don't understand. If you've never been divorced, you can't help me with that. It's as simple as that for me. Is it a tad bit ignorant? Maybe. But for me, that's just how I operate, because I don't want to know hypotheticals. I don't want to know, okay, the book says this is how you get through it. I want to know word for word, how did you get through divorce? How did you get through losing a child? How did you get through losing a job? How did you rebound? How did you decide to be an entrepreneur? If you're none of those things, you can't help. But all of that comes with knowing who you are and knowing that you are valuable. So like I said before, you have to get your emotions under control so that you can have the correct desires to make better choices. With that, you guys will be okay. It's taken me 5 years to get to this point of being able to fight hard enough and be encouraged enough to do this podcast, to speak to the people, and I come with love. As always, I thank you for tuning in to the Poetic Property Podcast, and always remember, it's complex.
I'm trying to figure love out. Is it action or words? When the passion's superb in the midst of an argument, things get heated and you blast it with words. Is it the apartment in the hood or the nice crib when you crash in the burbs, saying things you wouldn't say to your worst enemy? In fact, if you were 10, you would take it back 10 times infinity, searching for a remedy, no matter if it's there or not. Palming flowers, petal picking, contemplating, is it love or is it not? Or is love yawning early morning, breath stinking, and you decline the passion of kissing? Or when y'all break up and you reminisce on the past and you miss it? Love walk by, you grab for it, unable to grip it, because it's already naked, unable to strip it, top heavy, unable to tip it. Or it's love walking around the crib in sweatpants and a white tee. It might be, but likely, like she, he might be trying to live like he got no issues. But everybody human, man or woman, carry your box of tissue. Or as love whispers over light rain, igniting the night's pain, clouds for migraines, different state of mind frame. She ready to go, he in the darkness singing, sweet lady, would you be my sweet love for a lifetime? Stuck like grime in the crevices of weathered shower towel. Times get rough like the epidermis of a crocodile. Or as love shopping sprees and hot whips, or her being able to say to her girl, he got chips, pockets lined with cheddar. And he's like dog, she like mine forever. We do everything together, attached like mic to mic stand, but it can be frightening, fighting to hold tight and stand tall. Cause when it all fall down, love should be there to pick it up. Definition of love, passionate affection of one person to another. Look it up. So it's more than the laughter, fighting, fussing, love making and getting all fiery. Love, sweet love, you have inspired me to be better, whether the affection is felt to the max or minimum capacity of the feeling. Killing the heart, Novocaine, no filling. Slowest pain with no healing. Deck of cards not willing to be dealt with. Selfish, cause only love I want is hers. Cause it makes me swerve, intoxicated, well over the limits the law allows within the limits of the city. So I told me to stop acting silly, push it to the limit, replenish the value. Even if she foul you, give it a free throw. Because like she know, he know, they peas in a pod, reaching for God, teaching to plod, fighting reasons of odds, see through the fog, patience, teaching to jog, reach down her throat just to feel the beat of her heart, mouths couldn't keep us apart, full flame, all we need is a spark, light in the dark, try to tear us apart, scribe your life in the lines of the chart, cause I'll fight to the end, till I'm dead in the earth, lights out, all I see is the dark, and until I figure love out, I'll keep this knife in my heart, purposely pressing it to plug a main artery. Love, it's an art to me, to the point like archery, can't rip it apart from me, so I guess I'll figure love out when love drives to the end of the road and park in a spot with me.